And now, it's time to sit back and enjoy the Two True Freaks Internet Radio Broadcast.
I gotta take a whiz soon here too. Hey! Welcome to Garage Sale Gloat number 100. And if you notice, we're not in a car. We're in a parking lot right now.
Jesus Christ.
Outside of a flea market that's having a flea market / garage sale day. And we've shown up bright and early.
Way early.
And we're gonna bring our recorder out. Maybe we'll get some interviews. Maybe if anybody's cool enough to interview here, we'll interview them. But otherwise, we'll just be giving you updates on the day as we get stuff. But it's just gonna be a walking around kind of day.
It's a good thing I brought my walking around money.
We're about an hour away from our usual area. We're in uncharted land. And
let me take on your greatest warrior.
What I like is around here they got all these storage areas. You know, there's people with just storage areas full of stuff that they sell here.
I've actually been here once, and there's actually some pretty cool stuff that's like museum worthy.
Oh, cool.
Because they are like, it's like a museum here. But,
well,
anyways.
I like to hear it. All right, so here we go. We've actually made it to 100 this summer. That's amazing. We never thought in a million years we'd get that many garage sailing outings. It's getting cold, though, so we're definitely...
There's definitely some scars along the way.
This is going to be the last hurrah for 2024, but... anyway, we're going in. We can see the people starting to mill around, and luckily it doesn't look like it's a big mob, so that's awesome. We're going to whip right in here and start scooping stuff up. All right, get your scooper ready. All right, we are taking a little break under a shady tree.
And we're about ready to embark on the meat of the garage sale.
Yeah, well, we were like, there's a few garage sales here. Then we turned a corner and there's just like a whole parking lot full.
Yeah.
So it's been hit and miss. We've been finding music is mostly what I think we've bought, right?
Pretty much. I've been browsing glasses, but I haven't found anything.
I got a couple DVDs. I got No Country for Old Men and The Unforgiven, one of my favorite Clint Eastwood movies. I got some records, all for me. So far, no resale. So I got a Thomas Dolby 12-inch single, Hyperactive.
Scott Gardner.
Cosmos Factory by Creedence Clearwater Revival. The Benji soundtrack. Get the Knack, one of the first records I ever got. ELO Discovery.
You got that one.
Of course I did. I need to replace all the... And I got Do You Want to Get Funky With Me by Peter Brown with boobies on the cover.
Hey! That's not just boobies. That's silhouettes of nips.
Nipowettes, those are called. And Philosophical Bullshit by John Valby, Dr. Dirty. The guy who wrote, Aye, 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 your mother don't wipe, she drip dries. Aye, 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 aye. Your mother does deep knee bends over fire hydrants.
Now, what do you got to get personal for?
Creedence Clearwater Revival. I got the Green River album. And two Prince singles, including a purple single of Purple Rain and God.
Yeah, I picked up three of those for $2 each from the same guy. And then I also got...
How often do you get to buy some purple vinyl?
Yeah, let alone Prince. I mean, they'll always do well.
Well, if you're going to get Prince vinyl, it might as well be... If you're going to get purple vinyl, it's probably going to be Prince.
Yeah, that's true. I got a couple CDs. I got, thanks to you, the Adrian Belew Mr. Music Head CD.
Yeah, classic.
And then D-Light's World Click for my kid.
I actually picked up that CD at a garage sale sometime this summer.
Yeah, and then... I picked up the one comic, the G.I. Joe Order of Battle number one.
With the guy who had stacks of those in the John Byrne Superman number one.
But they are all water damaged.
Yeah.
This was the only one that wasn't.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's about it at this point. So.
Not bad.
Not bad. Good start to the morning, I'd say.
I mean, basically, we got all these garage sales to go through, and then we got a million vendors that are always here that we can
It's kind of weird because it's a lot of stuff isn't even priced. That's kind of the difficult.
That kind of is annoying. What really annoys me are in the places that are like established stores and nothing's priced, and it's just a wandering guy going, I don't know, $5. And
yeah, it's like he doesn't pay attention until you like walk up to him.
Yeah,
and then he's like, I don't know, $5. It's like,
I don't know, more than you want to pay?
So.
All right. We'll be back with our next update as we get more.
Into the mouth of the dragon.
Or see more. See more!
See more cheese.
All right, we're back. And,
like the weather, things are heating up.
Yeah. Let's talk about, we got comic books and magazines now.
Comic books, records, magazines.
Yeah, but like, I've gotten more records since then, but like, the comic books are definitely.
Yeah.
Look at this stack I've got, and here's my new records.
I mean, the first thing is we are walking around, and we found this one guy, he had like 5-6 boxes full of regular like
90s
comics, but you hit all his weirdo box.
I hit the weirdo box and everything was a dollar there,
right?
And like I got like all sorts of like self-published, like this Don't Come In Here, this thing here, whatever this is.
Yeah, that's cool.
Midnight in Paris. And everywhere you look, these are all local. This one's like 40 of 150. It's like,
right,
numbered and
local
and
indie stuff.
I got a Brat Pack for a buck.
Oh, Milk and Cheese.
A Milk and Cheese.
Man, you're cleaning up on the Mads this year.
Two Mads.
Ooh, we got Dynamite.
Starfighter. Whoa, one. Shields and Yarnell. Bugs Bunny Dynamite. Mad. Alfred E. Newman Dynamite. Empire Strikes Back pull out poster books. Two copies of Twisted Tales, which I got ripped off on, but I made up for it with my Daniel Klaus Wilson for $2.
Right, and then I actually found, for $1 a piece, I found a couple of Marvel Darkhold comics, which are heating up. A couple copies of George Perez's DC's War of the Gods, number 2, which are pretty nice. What else was there? There was one other, X-Men Onslaught. That thing's gone up in price. So we both did pretty well with that. And then after that, we started finding CDs and records.
Yeah, I got Slim Whitman, All My Best. Loudon Wainwright, the third, second album. Banjo Bandits with Buck Trent and Roy Clark.
Uh-huh.
Roger Miller, Dang Me, featuring the new hit Chug-a-Lug.
Chug-a-Lug.
Grandpa Jones' family album. I did buy that.
Uh-huh.
Wizard of Oz soundtrack, Planet Waves by Bob Dylan, good album, and It's a Beautiful Day, which is pretty much a classic.
And I got another single, with Waylon Jennings' Dukes of Hazzard single, and the Best of Zydeco CD for the lady. And then finally, the first of us to get the Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
No, I got Once Upon a Time. I've
got
it. It's a DVD copy, but.
Oh. And then I picked up like these three comics that were just a pile of comics just lying there. And he did like $1 each. So I got the Quincy. These things are actually have gone up in price. What If, number 27. What If Phoenix Didn't Die?
That's the nice one.
And then Daredevil 185 with Frank Miller, where he loses his powers. Then
that,
I negotiated.
That might be one I might negotiate a trade with you someday.
And then I negotiated an emergency comic, Tarleton number 2. He had $10 on it.
You took that down to $3. Easily.
It's probably worth about $8-$10, but yeah, because it's got a tear. Yeah. But still, it's a nice book for $3.
Now, here's where we're getting into some of the gold.
Oh, yeah. So here we are, just being our humble selves, and what do we see but a freaking box of underground comics
with somebody who doesn't know what they are. He's just like, some of those are pretty wild.
Yeah.
So it's like, yes, we know.
And the first one sitting on the front. Yes, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, little Danny Fogel. There was a Funny Animals number 1 sitting on the front of this box, wide open for $5.
$5.
And it's probably like a four or five, because it's got a rusty staple, but it's in pretty nice shape for $5.
It's beautiful. Like, obviously, there's a printing issue.
Yeah, it's off register, too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which is actually more.
Yeah.
People like that more.
Yeah, it's a variant almost.
Yeah. I might get this thing cleaned and pressed, but it's definitely, it made my hole. I let you buy the rest of them. I just wanted that one.
Yeah. So I got a Mr. Natural.
75 Center number 1.
Yeah. Is that a number 1?
Yep.
A bunch of Freak Brothers to replace all my Freak Brothers.
Three.
And they're in much better shape.
2.
The Zap, this.
Number 8. Number 7. 75 Center.
My copy of Zap number 7 was so trashed, and this is a decent.
They're nice shape.
Much better. Weird Fantasies number 1.
Yep, that's a nice shape one for $5.
Canned Corn Comics.
Yep.
Another Freak Brothers.
Number 1, 75 cents.
And Subvert Comics, number 1.
Spain.
Trash Man.
Spain Rodriguez.
Trash Man.
Yeah, man. And we're only like...
It's a good
like,
day. We're mostly through the garage sale, I think.
We're about halfway through.
Are we?
Yeah, looking around. There's another couple parts for us. And it, the way this aisle just was, we just need another aisle like that. And
yeah, call it a day.
We'll be broke.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I saw that.
Well, I brought more money than I should have, but yeah. I'm sort of glad I did, but I'm sort of not glad I did, too.
Everything's been fair prices.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I mean, $5. I was like, $5 a piece on those undergrounds. But then I was like,
they're in really nice.
When am I gonna find? When am I gonna find them? Sitting
besides my house for sale.
right. And then not for $5.
Well, for you, I would. Sympathy case.
Oh. You're a hell of a man, Johnny Bueno. Hell of a man.
All right, let's cut that. Packing.
All right, we're doing a drop-off at the car because my bag is so full of records and magazines that it weighs like 45 pounds. Got a bunch of Mad magazines, a crazy super special. I wouldn't touch crazy magazines when I was a kid.
No.
I was like, they're just a rip-off. Like, Cracked, I was like, sketchy on Cracked, but I would read Cracked in a pinch. But Mad was the real stuff.
The OG.
What else did I get?
I got some of the original crazies from the 70s, like the first 10. Like, I got some of those.
I just always remember seeing them and going, the art isn't any good in these. And now that I look at them, some of the art's pretty good in them.
Yeah, Severin.
They got Severin for it, yeah. John Severin, not Doc Severin.
Or Marie.
I got a cartoons somewhere in there. The old, sometimes with an underground artist in it.
Usually Gilbert Shelton.
Yeah. And what else? I got these, a whole bunch of these avant-garde magazines. This one is a portfolio of erotic lithographs by John Lennon.
See, I didn't see that. I saw that, but I didn't see that.
There's some erotic Picasso lithographs in the other one. The guy goes, if you're into counterculture and And Art, you'll like those. And I'm like, I am. He's like, 15 for the pile. And I'm like, yes, please. Because I know those go for a good, those are sought after magazines. As is, there was something else I was going to.
Did you get any Beatles stuff?
I didn't really. I'm not really interested in having Beatles stuff except for the music, you know?
I got that Beatles paperback for Yellow Submarine, but that's...
I would have bought that if I would have
caught
it.
Yeah, I knew. I have an eye, because that's obviously worth money.
Yeah, that's not super valuable, but it's really neat. It's
somewhere in my collection.
It's somewhere between a comic, a storybook, and a photo novel.
And it's vintage.
Yeah, it's neat. It's a nice little book. But, yeah, what else? I got one of those stupid wall hangings. What? You here again? Another hour. Shot to hell.
Nice.
Shot to hell.
Yeah, I got some good dead baby shots while you were riffling through the mats.
Johnny Bueno, I'm just telling you guys, he's a little hangry right now. He just got cock blocked at the food court. Cock blocked at the food. Johnny Bueno, cock. That's your first solo album. Johnny Bueno, cock blocked at the food court. Watch out, these guys are trying to shave your ass off.
Well, you know, if I actually had something to eat, they might have actually hit it.
All right, it's 11:30, and we go there, and he goes...
It was 11:20 at the time.
11:20, he goes, oh, the ham, egg, and cheese sandwich. You go, breakfast is over. And it's like, okay,
where's your sign?
But why is it harder to make a ham, egg, and cheese than a cheeseburger or whatever
or
else they're
dog.
Making there? Yeah, you know?
Yeah.
Not to mention it took like 10 minutes to make my hot dog.
I know. I was like, how about a donut? No donuts. And she like points out. So, all right, I'll just take a coffee.
Do you have a loaded gun by any chance?
It's like, oh, your neck is so supple.
You seem to have a lot of tension in your neck. Let me remove all of it.
Where's your phone?
All right. All right, folks. We gotta go put some food down in Johnny Bueno. We gotta go put some sausage down in Bueno's throat. And I just switched out my old bag for a fresh new empty bag.
Horny's got a new brand new bag.
Horny just emptied his sack and is ready to go.
Okay.
All right, Johnny Bueno is grabbing his booty.
And I never even stopped to put that sausage in my mouth.
We didn't even get to the sausage because we went about 50 feet to this place that we saw and we're like, this place was going to be good when we were walking in. And then when I was there, I saw this old lady pull out a record that said Barbarella on it with a picture of Barbarella. And I was like, oh, God damn you, old lady.
All right.
And then she put it back. So I just had to wait for her. And then as I was looking through the records, the guy goes... All the records here are dollar that are out here. And it was just like, ooh. And I got a nice Strangers in Paradise trade paperback to replace my old Strangers in Paradise trade paperback. A trade paperback of Girl Crazy by Gilbert Hernandez.
Beautiful.
I used to have all the original. A gift for my roommate who is going to go fucking crazy because I got her the Andy Warhol Diaries. First edition hardcover.
Yeah, motherfucker.
Only $12.
Yeah, motherfucker. How much does that go for?
$150, $200.
A hundo.
For a first...
I just want to say hundo.
First edition. A hundo Elantra. I got a Space Wars magazine.
With rich Corinthian leather.
With a picture... With, what is that? What movie is that?
Space 1999?
No, it's Bruce Dern eco science fiction movie.
Oh.
But that's on the cover of it. I bought that Sea Monster magazine and an Epic Illustrated for $2.
Uh-huh.
And then, what else? Oh, I got some couple Mad books, Boiling Mad and Mad in Orbit.
I saw that.
Johnny Bueno found me three CDs. We got Jimmy Cliff, The Harder They Come. Way better than Bob Marley. Jimmy Cliff, greater than Bob Marley. Shake Your Booty, Frank Zappa. Just every song gold. And ELO, Balance of Power.
By that point, Zeppelin's mane was pretty sheared.
Oh, and I got a weird science fantasy
reprint. Nice.
Reprint.
Yeah, so I got a few CDs. I got to pull those out yet, too, or figure out where I put them.
Well, here, while you're doing that, I'll go through my dollar albums I got there. I got the Crazy album, which just says the Crazy album with a picture of Napoleon on the cover. Laurie Anderson, Mr. Heartbreak. A Dan Hicks and His Hot Licks album. Harpo Marx, Harpo at Work album.
So, in stereo.
Ice Cream Castle by Morris Day and the Time.
Featuring
Jungle Love. Buck Owens, Before You Go. Loudon Wainwright III, A Field Guide to Bird Songs.
Oh, we had that.
My grandparents had this one. Yeah. A water damaged, but where else are you going to find this? What else do you do? A compilation of quiet music? This is Shimmy Disc, isn't it?
It is Shimmy Disc.
This is my second Shimmy Disc at a sale this summer.
Yeah.
And this one has Burn and Rob. Rock and roll makes me want to Burn and Rob. Maybe I'll put that at the end of this.
Good old Pale Face.
Yeah, I'll put that Pale Face song at the end instead of some AI slop. Goofy Greats. This was one of those albums as a little kid I always wanted because it would be on TV all the time. Esquivel, Exploring New Sounds. I don't know what this is. It's a psychedelic band I know called Calliope, but it's a Japanese pressing of it. This, The Time Rollback, and these are like, it looks like they're kind of dirty 78 songs or risque.
God.
Ernest Hare and Blackface.
Serious Blackface on that.
Here's the first one that I saw that I was after, Barbarella. Barbarella.
Why doesn't have any skin showing?
It's not the real, that's not Jane Fonda. It's not even the real Barbarella soundtrack, which would be worth a lot. Look at this. Dallas, The Music Story.
Wow.
Episodes 1 through 5. Whatever the hell that means.
You got Utopia in there.
Yes, I did. The 10 Laws of Rap. Not sealed, but still with shrink wrap. The Emmanuel soundtrack. Saucy. Ugh. Saucy. Tangerine Dream. Exit. That's a replacement for an album I had. Utopia POV. Look at this. It's in great shape.
That's when Todd Leon, cut his hair off.
Leon Redbone.
I saw CDs of Leon, too.
And then look at this. Bob and the Devil. 5 Sermons by Bob Harrington on Satanic Forces and Spiritual Resources.
Signed.
Autographed in 1958.
Saved in 58.
Ooh, saved in 58, yes.
See, that could be your front skin for episode 100 if you flip it over.
See what
you could put like...
Yeah. I ought to send this to Ivan Stang of the Church of the Subgenius.
Yes.
He would probably really appreciate that, yes.
Yeah, so I picked up a few CDs. That guy had amazing CDs. Unfortunately, his CDs were not a dollar a piece.
They were not cheap.
No, they started at $3, and anything good was 4 and up.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I did get the best...
But the stuff that was 4 and up was tempting, you know?
Yes, exactly. To get the Bonzo Dog Bands, the best of bestiality for $4, that's worth it.
Yeah.
And I got 2 Todd Rundgren CDs from later in his career that I did not have. Global, as well as Second Wind. So those are kind of cool. He has another one that I actually have where he did all his original songs and he did them like Calypso style. It's pretty funny. Yeah. Another Spike Jones. I've never seen this one. Let's Sing A Song of Christmas.
There's it's got to have All I Want for Christmas is My Two Front Teeth, because that was his biggest hit. But he also did the whole Nutcracker. I think he did the whole Nutcracker as a bunch of 78s, and that's probably on there.
He's got Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, Frosty the Snowman. Wouldn't It Fun to Be Santa Claus's Son?
Nuttin' for Christmas. That's kind of obscene.
What Are You Doing Christmas Eve, New Year's Eve? So, then a Motown Best Of for my daughter. And then we came around the corner and I found he had some comics. Not too many, but I got a couple of first volume She-Hulks, 15 and 23. I think he did those for like $1 a piece. True Crime Comics Special Number 2, Apocalypse in Waco, Jeffrey Dahmer. And then Mad Magazine's number 186 and 203, which... It's got Star Trek and Star Wars, and they both are posing with Alfred E. Newman, and they're both tipping their hat.
They're both doing the song and dance with hats on, tipping their hats and putting their feet forward.
The Mad Star Wars musical and the Mad Star Trek musical. That's just mad.
Yeah, that's quite a twofer.
It is. And I got this thing, too. These super mags, these mini ash cans, and looks like they were kind of like dynamites, but like smaller.
I think that they came in something. They were something scholastic.
Yeah.
And they came inside of them or something. But, I don't know.
You know, Melissa Gilbert and Alan Alda, sign me up.
Alan Alda, big with the elementary school kids in the 70s. Give me that magazine with Alan Alda on the cover.
Yeah, and his boxers and his martinis.
Well, episode 100 is going to be a short episode this year because we couldn't stop at every sale that we did here, so we just had to do it in chunks. But basically, I got about 80 pounds of records today.
And magazines.
Just ridiculous amount. I love getting paper products, so I love having some magazines in there. It's like having a bag full of crack for me. And my housemate is going to be very happy and surprised to see that.
Speaking of which, we can go back a little bit to Friday in this weekend. Other garage sale. So we are planning on going here on Sunday, but... Of course, I've always got to look around on various places and saw there was a garage sale with comic books on my way home from work on Friday. So I went there. I ended up buying 176 comic books for $100. And I'd say retail value, they're probably worth about $250. There is some decent Bronze Age in there. A quarter of them are New Universe, but they're all in really good shape and they're all complete sets.
So that's fodder for comic shows for you.
Yeah, just easy stuff to sell real quick and bulk out. But the big thing was, is I was looking around and saw they had not one, but two red plastic Pee-wee Herman show lunch boxes with the thermoses. So I did pretty well on those.
Yep, and Johnny and I actually did a little trade I ended up with one of those Pee-wee's Playhouse lunch boxes in my house.
See what gloating will get you?
Yeah. Plenty of trade stuff. I'm sorry, I'm fascinated with that hawk there. That hawk has been hunting something and it dove down over there. It's been just... Oh.
Yeah, we're just sitting in the parking lot and had our doors open, but someone was getting in the car, so try and be polite enough to... close the door for
that's because we're nice guys, not like last episode where we were bastards.
Well,
we earned that.
it had been building.
They had that coming.
It had been building literally for 2 months. Literally for 2 months. I think if we go back and listen to the tapes, we could probably go back like 7-8 episodes and say, you know, that was kind of snarky maybe, versus just being funny.
Well, snarky to us is still snarky. It's always funny to the listeners.
I can remember the first time.
No, everybody loves to hear somebody with, like, steam coming out of their ears. And go.
It's definitely more fun.
Yeah.
Oh. I can remember my first time I did my first radio, my try-it radio. I had to go and make a news demo. And I made this 10-minute news demo. And the feedback I got was decent on the read, a little heavy on the sarcasm. And I'm like, sarcasm? Sarcasm, me?
What do you mean, sarcasm?
And, of course, Carmen's like, it's the most sarcastic guy I know. What are you talking about? It's just like, yeah, okay, buddy.
I don't know about that. But
yeah, this is in college.
Yeah. There were a lot of sarcastic fuckers around the people that we knew.
Oscar.
Oh, Oscar. Jesus Christ. Yeah, come on. All right. Johnny Bueno and I are going to go find some food.
Yeah, man.
We're gonna take his hangry away.
Yeah, it's amazing what...
Actually, finding all those CDs sort of quelled the angry beast for a little while, but...
Yeah, a good half hour, 40 minutes.
Yeah.
That was pretty good.
A little adrenaline.
But it's so funny being close to Buffalo. Everyone's packing up.
Yeah, they're all going to watch the Bills game today.
And they're like, oh, the wind. We got to clean up. It was like...
Yeah, right. Okay.
There's a storm coming, Annie.
Yeah, that's it. Well, yeah, we were walking past. There's a whole bunch of, like, warehouse buildings. And people are just putting the garage doors up. Storm's coming, Annie. Storm's coming. Hey, you better get inside. There's a storm coming.
I hate the asphalt.
All right.
Thank you.
All right.
Okay.
We will be back with a season wrap up as we drive back to Rochester after we eat.
Some full bellies.
Fed and happy. All right.
Send in the one-eyed fat man.
It ain't over till the one-eyed fat man sings. And we're singing. It's we are officially closing out this summer of Garage Sale Gloat. You notice it's probably taking a little while for this episode to come out because we're milking it into the fall. But once you hear this, we've been done for probably a couple weeks.
Ready up the chamber. Bring in the liquid cold. Carry it.
Check all the dials. Pray that they will hold. Anyway. Enough of our rock opera.
It was apropos.
I guess it was, yes. But, yeah. What can I say? This has been the best garage sailing in 20 years and probably my history of garage sailing. No, I've been to some, like, I've gotten some greater scores over the years.
Yeah, we all have.
But it was more like a crap score. Crap. This has all been just sort of like solidly good. Nothing that I'm going to, you know, get rich off of or, you know, pay 3 months rent off of. But lots of like, you know, beef and potatoes type basics, like a big box of magazines that I could sell six at a time for $20 or $30.
You know,
and
you could go back to, I think it was episode 85. And that was one of the goals, was just that, to restock the cabinets and get you restored.
Well, that's the thing is I've definitely, like, now I can go home and I have multiple, I just picked up two more bookshelves off the curb. So I've got bookshelf space, but I've got, like, a solid collection of all the kinds of books that I like. Some of them that I used to have, some new ones that I want to read. But, like, you know, I have books, so I'm always going to have a book to read. Not as much as, like, before my house burned down, I had an on-deck shelf. that I probably had, like, and I had one of the best on decks for a while. I had, like, six books that I couldn't wait to read.
That sounds like my top shelf and my lower shelf of my nightstand for my comics.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I had, the first book of the Three Body Problem trilogy, which I ended up not getting to read, but I did see the first season of the TV adaptation of it, and it's amazing. And I can't remember what other books I had, but a bunch of Robert Anton Wilson books that I hadn't read. But now I've got five or six on my to read book. I've gotten a lot of the stuff that I got a stereo now. Basically, I got a turntable and speaker. I got my whole stereo system garage sale, actually.
Yeah.
Come to think of it, this.
Got some magazines to sell, some magazines to read.
Yep. Well, like those UFO magazines, I'm going to read them and sell them. You know? And, like, I've got, like, literally years worth of reading with that big tub of UFO magazines. And I've had a few of them up. They haven't sold yet, but they will eventually. It's, you know, I started putting up stuff when it was still summertime, when nobody buys anything on eBay.
Yeah, someone made a comment to me yesterday while at the comic shop that, man, it's still a buyer's market, man. Still buyers. I'm like, it typically is until, like, around Halloween.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, it switches.
All of a sudden, people... Well, around Halloween, people have to start looking for Christmas presents for people. Then around Christmas, it's still... You know, it goes right up until Christmas. And then after Christmas, you got all the people who've got their eBay gift certificates or, you know, some money to spend on something. And then it's like right after Christmas, I've always found with eBay, is when everybody buys things, because that's when they're making more impulse buys, because, like, somebody gave them a $50 eBay gift certificate, so they're just flipping around looking for
things to buy. Oh, it's not the Christmas spirit or the holiday spirit?
No. It's money.
You're going to have to cut that out. I don't want to offend others that aren't Christians when I say that. So.
Okay. Whatever.
You can cut that out, right? You can dump that, right?
Yeah, I can, but will I? Who knows?
He said dump.
Who said?
You're scratching your chin.
Huh. Maybe I'll remember to cut it out. You're just lucky I cut out that other stuff from last episode.
I am lucky?
Well, we're both lucky, because we're both, just to let you know, episode 99, I know you listened to the first part of it and said, Jesus, they're mad. Holy shit, they're mad.
I wasn't mad, but I got provoked.
I did whip you up. I got you all mad when I started talking about the lady with her bat who was bag tending, who was the bag police at the... That's when you were just, like, calling her names and stuff. When I came home and told that story to Trudy, she got mad. And she said, what? What? Why would somebody do that? Yeah, exactly. Why would somebody do that? Why would somebody do that? But I'll just tell you, and I know you hate to hear it because you want to hear us freak out. We cut out one of our freak outs in that, because it was just too ugly. It was just too ugly. I was, you know, not to spoil it and spoil cutting it, but, you know,
you were talking shit.
I was setting the game plan. I was setting the game plan of how we were going to beat the guy up. So, there you go.
I guess, like, I dropped you off. I was like, that doesn't take something. I don't think that's a good look.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking the same thing about that episode. I was like, we're either going to have to just, like, put this one on the shelf forever or do a little trimmy trim on it, because it got ugly. It got ugly.
But anyways, we're talking about retrospective, but we did have to give at least one section.
I'm not feeling very, you know, it's been a go fuck yourself summer, even though it's the greatest summer of all. We love talking about the people who should.
A lot of laughs.
Go out and mounteth upon themselves.
And I got a metric shit ton of funny photos.
Yes. One day, Jack will have his art opening in New York City, and everybody will have to follow the garage sale signs to the art opening. And all your pictures should be on fold-out tables. Everything this table, $10,000. Everything this table, $50,000.
For you, $70,000.
And then then when everybody comes in, you'll be like, I know it says $50,000, but everything's negotiable. Everything's got to go. And we'll make it a garage sale. We'll hire little kids to be playing around in the front, annoying people. We'll have a dog.
But I was looking through my...
Actually, what you should do is you shouldn't even be there. You should just hire old ladies to sit down in a lawn chair.
Oh, yeah.
And back everything. And then when they're like, how much for this picture? She's like, oh, I don't know. That's not mine. I got to call Jack and see what that picture is.
No, they got to start talking or saying.
Yeah. Somebody likes that picture. Somebody wants that picture. What do you think that picture should go for?
True story. And I want to get back to the retrospective of the summer, but... We used to go up to Vermont for the 4th of July to visit my mother-in-law. There's this one place called Moscow, Vermont, where on the 4th of July, people would have to make their own floats. They'd have to do it starting the night before, and they would actually have this whole fleet of old ladies or women that would be choreographed, and they were marching with their lawn chairs. And there are the old ladies in lawn chairs marching society of Moscow.
And would they just every once in a while set their lawn chairs down
and with their legs crossed. And but they were doing all sorts of flips and spins and ins and outs. And it was pretty funny. But getting back to, I ended up over the weekend going through all the stuff that I had piled up. Not the comics so much, because comics is different for that's 3D Mart Promotions.
They get processed differently.
Yes. Jackie D's Pop Culture Emporium. Inc.
LLC.
Yeah, LLC. But there's a lot of stuff they bought earlier in the summer I'd forgotten about. Like that Rainbow Pride Lego set that I bought.
Oh, yeah.
That was kind of fun. The original Wood Stratego board game.
That was one of those... If a summer doesn't go by where you buy something at garage sale where the people think that guy's gay, then you're not doing good at a garage sale.
It's like, you don't have to say anything.
Well, I'm just saying, we will buy stuff that's not for us know we'll sell. And it might be something for a girl. It might be a Barbie play set or something.
And they're thinking that the two of us are flaky.
Together. Funny they never married. Yeah. Funny he never married. But, like, yeah, that happened to Scott. That happened to Scotty and I once, and he totally wasn't paying attention. And we walked into this one garage sale, and we both bought dolls of some sort. Right? And we were like, oh, how much for this? How much for this? And walked out, and I'm like, Scotty, they totally thought we were a couple. And he was just like, ooh, gross. And I'm like, yeah, you're not just whistling Dixie there, buddy.
There was one time I was 19 years old.
I think you're attractive either, buddy.
I was like sick as a dog with headaches and like neck pain. And my father took me into emergency. And this guy thought that my father and I were gay lovers. My father was
like... He's like getting ready to call the police thinking your dad was a chicken hawk or something.
He's like, and who is this? He's like, my son? What the fuck? What the fuck do you think I was? Huh? Meanwhile, I'm like sitting there like, oh. groaning on the freaking...
he thinks your dad just, like, railed you and, like, your butt was hurt or something like that.
He's like, I hope there's no gerbils up there.
That's actually... Did your dad actually really say that? Because...
Yeah, because the guy insinuated that we were gay.
Oh, okay, because I thought you were just making that up.
No, I'm like, that's true.
I'm like, you may be making that up. That totally sounds like something your dad said.
No, that was true. I was 19 years old. I went to a Judas Priest concert, and ironically enough, I ended up having a sore neck, and I was, like, sore, so sick. I was vomiting, like, the next day or two. That they actually took me in. They did a spinal tap on me and everything.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, I was like, they thought I had meningitis. But when they brought me into the room, they asked my father the relation. He's like, and this is, they didn't ask relation. They just asked him how he knew my, how do you know this person? He's like, it's my son.
We met at the bus station.
It's like, what the hell? Anyways,
your dad's a guy actually Johnny and I went on a trip to San Francisco together. Well, back in the
not
day,
that there's anything his, wrong with
on
that
on his frequent flyer miles.
Well, we went to other places too. We started in San Francisco.
Yeah, we went.
Because you say we went to San Francisco.
We were
now you're emphasizing
well,
even
because,
more.
Yeah, I know I am. I'm purposely doing that for the sake of the topic,
right?
But also to. To lead up into
right.
Your dad was like, I'm giving you a little extra money. Maybe you can buy yourself a nice woman there, Jack. And Jack's just like, oh, God. And he's just like, but if you drop your wallet on the ground, you got to kick it all the way to Santa Cruz before you pick it up. Just to be careful.
He did say that. Was that the same trip where
He pulled the gun on me.
He pulled the gun on you?
I was packed up and ready to go. I'm sitting on my front steps of my apartment, and your dad literally drove up onto the lawn, opened the door, and like half exited the, you know, just sort of swiveled out where his legs were out of the car, and he goes, "You Ratnik?" And because we hadn't picked up Jack yet, Jack just said, "My father's coming to get you. I'm going to apologize in advance for my dad." But he's coming to get you.
That's pretty prophetic.
Don't take anything you say. Don't take anything he says seriously. You know, but he's going to say
something. I wasn't lying.
He's going to say something. No, he was not lying. I'll tell you that right now. Dad pulls up, swings out of the car, like half on the lawn, half on the neighbor's, the other house's driveway. Whips out his gun. He goes, "Are you Ratnik?" And I said, "Yes, I am." And he whips out his gun, aims it at him, and goes, "Get in the car." I go, "Okay." And I'm like, because I was already new. I knew ahead. I was pre-warned. And I was like, "All right, I'm not going to let this guy get my goat." And I go, "Okay." And he goes, "You like my gun?" I'm like, "Yeah." And he goes, "Think I should shoot it into the ground?" And I'm like, "Yeah." And he goes, "I'm not going to do that." And I'm like, "Yes. I won that round." I will not be shocked.
Pretty much.
And you were going to be shocked, just embarrassed. You were just like, "Come on, Dad." And he's just like, "Oh, no, get yourself a nice woman when you're out there." And I can't remember the amount of money he gave you, but it probably wouldn't have been enough to get a very nice woman at all.
No, it was actually to get him a chess set instead.
Yeah.
"Give me a nice chess set." It's like $50. It's like, okay. I mean, you'd be lucky if it's not plastic.
Well, $50 back then wasn't terrible for a
chess
set.
Yeah, but you couldn't find anything really nice for... I ended up buying him that jade chess set that was like $100 in Portland. And then we walked for another 3 hours.
With you carrying it?
Yes. Yeah. Following around our friends.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good times. Good times. So, but yeah, they're the board games I got, those Legos. You know, even those old Southern saying. Remember those books that I found?
Yeah.
I bought that whole thing there. That was pretty funny. I'm trying to think. I mean, a bunch of clothes.
Oh, I loaded up on. I like, that's where I walked away with almost a full. I came back from that with almost a full set of Hates comics and 8-Ball comics. Daniel Close and
where?
Peter Krause. After that trip, when I was in San Francisco.
Oh, San Francisco. I'm talking about garage sailing.
Oh, not garage sailing. Oh, I need to get a set of, if anybody has a whole set of Hates or 8-Balls out there.
They actually have them collected, too.
That's what I'm probably going to do. That will probably be pricey, but not as pricey as replacing them all issue by issue.
It's like $150 for the slipcase.
Yeah.
I was watching one, someone gave me like, I'll give you $5 off and make it $145. It's like, gee, thanks.
Hey, thanks, buddy.
It's like, you're so generous.
And you also reminded me today that I also had the R. Crumb Genesis when we were talking about you not getting your...
Yeah, that's right.
And I never got to read it. I hadn't gotten around to reading it.
You know, I haven't really read it seriously. I've a couple pages here and there, and just the art is just so stunning.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard to actually...
Well, underground comic people adapting the Bible is some of the best reading ever, because Chester Brown used to do... He was doing an adaptation of the Bible in the back of Yummy Fur Comics.
Right.
And it was, I mean, you know, he drew everybody probably, it was like Monty Python. He, you know, how they depict people in like their nice clean robes in those times and all the
right.
Jesus movies and stuff. No, they were dirty. They had warts and welts all over them. Everybody had like sores and
warts.
Yeah, and were scrawny and Chester Brown's Bible stories were great. And he was doing, just like R. Crumb did, faithful, you know, they weren't doing like their crazy take on it. They were like, we're going to straight up do it. But, you know, they're just not going to draw it the way, like real, like religious made Jesus comics don't want to draw, you know, they don't want to make it look, anything look seedy or bad, you know. I mean, really though, if you're doing that, the only person you don't have to make look seedy or bad is Jesus. Everybody else was pretty seedy back in those days, and shit was dirty. That's why I like Monty Python. Whenever they did the Middle Ages or old times, everybody was covered in dirt and mud. How did you know I was a knight? Because you don't have shit all over you. So, but yeah, you reminded me. I need to get it. That probably won't be that hard to get because it got pretty widely published.
Yeah, but I forgot, you know, it's like, I forgot that I bought those Dragon Ball Z 12-inch figures. I forgot I bought those Hellboy action figures.
And you got all those anime movies from the one place.
And I got a bunch. I got like...
From the 50 Cent place.
Half a dozen anime book or manga books. So it's like, all right. It's like, plus all the DVDs. There's just scads and scads of DVDs.
Yeah. I got a few records that I could sell. But the problem is I don't want to sell them because I got a Marty Robbins record for $1 somewhere. That was in fantastic shape, that goes for a good amount of money and is a very popular, I guess a very popular Marty Robb, pretty popular album with the younger generations. I guess it was a big hit on record store day because there's a modern pressing of it that goes for like $50 or whatever, you know, but that's like... That's sort of like the price of new vinyl these days. I think it's like $40 a record for new vinyl these days. Like something that they've reprinted or... Like when I bought John Carpenter's new album that he made, it was $40. Huh. But it's probably going down because they're now making more vinyl than CDs or anything else. I don't even know if they make CDs anymore.
There's a lot of CD players out there.
There are. I just don't know if people use them anymore. You know what I mean? And everybody's back into vinyl. And I can't blame them. Vinyl sounds good. It just sounds good.
It's just not convenient.
No, it's not convenient, but...
CDs are more convenient for when you're on the go, which is what I listen to. And I listen to a lot of music in my car. So for me, I buy CDs.
Now, apparently, back in the day, they made a record player that was for your car to listen to records on. And I want to know how the fuck they could do that. It had to have some sort of linear tracking on it.
You had to live in the desert.
It just only have straightaways of nice road. To even right now, we're on the thruway right now. Like, this would skip any record.
Yeah.
Just changing lanes would skip a record. So I'm really curious as to how... obviously they didn't work well because they did not become a thing. And who's going to want to drive around with a fucking bunch of records in the back of their car except for, like, a teenage kid at the time?
That they could potentially scratch and ruin.
That they could ruin, yeah. And melt in the sun, you know?
Yep. That was our ode to Howie. Happy birthday, Howie, and your birthday party yesterday. Sorry we couldn't make it out. I couldn't play anyways with my tooth being yanked.
I don't have any instruments anymore. I imagine I could have probably found somebody who would have lent me a banjo.
Did you notice that just about every instrument that we saw was pretty much old or off-brand and hammered?
Yeah, that's pretty... because if it's not, it usually somebody's going to buy it, you know? There's enough music collector people and people who play music that want to buy, you know, want to buy something good that's used. It's just like my old boss Jesse said. He's like, I always bought a good acoustic guitar because you could play it for the ladies to listen to you, and if you ever needed money, you could always sell a good acoustic guitar. And he's right, you know.
Well,
whether it's to your neighbor or, like, go to the local records, you know, music store and sell it, you know?
Yeah, because I learned early on with my father always buying things as cheap as possible because that's all he could afford while stretching things. The quality instruments lead to more pleasure, really.
Yeah.
They sound better, they play better. Easier to resell, and you don't have to spend much more to versus something that's cheap. It's like
difference between a good acoustic guitar and a bad acoustic guitar is carpal tunnel syndrome. You know, the minute you start on a, you know, you get used to playing a crappy guitar, the second you pick up a quality instrument, it's just like, oh, this is five times easier to play. And it sounds beautiful.
You remember my acoustic guitar? I mean, I walked into a guitar place in Phillipsburg, New Jersey that was infamous. And they had just a whole giant warehouse of acoustic guitars. And I found the one I liked, and the resonation was always really good on it. And it was a Washburn, and I spent $200 on it in 1990, and it, I don't know if it goes for any more, but it certainly doesn't go for any less.
Well, it was like Mike Cross's bass.
Yeah.
Playing Mike Cross's bass made you, even if you didn't know how to play a bass, it made you sound like you knew how to play a bass.
Right.
The only drawback of his bass was it weighed a ton.
Yeah.
It was a jazz, backbreaker.
Jazz bass.
Yeah.
I know. That's what my brother has. So he gave it to my daughter, and she's like, I can't play this. So now she plays her, what do you want to call her? Her ukulele bass. Those are cool. But anyways, getting back to the garage selling, you know, I got all those football helmets to sell. That could be
Oh, yeah.
that could be a potential thing we talk about as come back during the Christmas season for the show we're going to be doing. Selling many of these wares.
Yeah.
Like my WWF jigsaw puzzle or my Japanimation, whatever it was, that I think it was a Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah.
The poster that was in the frame.
Yeah, yeah.
Got a few of that stuff. Bunch of CD box sets, Johnny Cash, the Chess Blues one that I bought from that lady. Yeah, it's just lots of stuff. Lots of crazy pictures. Not just of dead babies, but things we saw on people's lawns. And just all sorts
of... Sword in the stone.
Yeah, the sword in the stone. That giant shrub.
The giant shrub that just cracks people up when they see it. Because you're like, Barb, let me show you a picture of the giant shrub. And I'm thinking to myself, it's not going to work on a tiny little camera screen, you know. And you showed it to her, and she's just like, what the hell? And I did see a picture.
It looks like an optical illusion.
No, I saw a picture of how people trim one of those. They have these big, long-ass trimmers that kind of curve around.
Yeah, they have to.
And that's probably what somebody did. Because I was like, how the hell did they get that so smooth and round without a cherry picker? There's no kind of ladder.
It's like almost 10 feet tall.
It might have been more than 10 feet
tall. Yeah, 12 feet
tall. It was about the height of the building.
It's definitely over a story.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was huge. And it was just like, even if you got on a ladder, you'd have to lean out over and risk falling into it.
And we know what happens when you do that.
While gripping up.
Remember that story? When I did that at Lansdale Street, when I impaled myself with the fence. You don't remember that story?
No.
Oh, this is Johnny Bueno, gory true story, Halloween style. Well, it was Labor Day, and Sue and I were living together at Lansdale Street, and I was trying to trim my bushes next to Old Man Yaddo. Remember Old Man Yaddo?
Vaguely.
The guy, old guy with the glasses and the brownstone next to me. So anyways, I went to go trim the top of my 10-foot stepladder, these bushes, and I couldn't quite very well reach. And just as I got there with my electric hedge trimmers, I fell into the center of the bush. And it started to fall, and I started getting cut up. So I stopped myself, and I'm like going face down into this giant bush, and there's no way of getting out. So I'm like, okay. So the only thing I could do was like, well, I could flip myself around.
Continue going, yeah.
Or go down or try and jump out. So what did I do? I took around and I took my right leg and I threw my weight around. And I forgot, but there was a wrought iron fence on the outside.
Oh.
And I impaled my leg into the wrought iron fence. And I looked down and I saw my leg stuck into the fence. And of course the adrenaline immediately kicked in.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, fuck. All right, this is like serious now. I didn't call for anything, but my wife was in the house, and the windows were open, and she was on the phone, and she heard when...
yeah.
And she's like, wait, I have to get back to you. So as she was running downstairs, I decided to, like, lift my leg and jump up off the fence, which is the only thing you can do at that point.
Right. And unless just, you want to hang there like a,
right.
like a chicken in a Chinese restaurant.
And it was like underneath my left knee, or my right knee. Don't you remember that? Because we played that show later on. Don't you remember I had a big wound on my leg?
Yeah, vaguely.
That's right, you've been through a lot. So, yes. And so she, of course, is going to take me to emergency. And she's trying to keep me from going into shock. And I'm in the back seat of the car. And I'm like horizontal. And we're at the red light going to go into Highland Hospital. And she's like, oh, tell me what's going on, what happened. So I go into detail just like that. And of course, it was too much for my wife. And of course, and she went into shock and she passed out.
Oh, and Jesus.
I'm like looking and like the light's green. And all of a sudden, the car starts veering off into the other lane. I'm like, so? And as I had like reach over and I quick grabbed the wheel and straightened it out. And then she was kind of, and I got her to like, I just put it in the park. Pushed her into the other side of the car. Pulled into emergency. Yeah, the rest is history. That's a pretty funny story for Halloween. Halloween themed anyways.
Yeah, that's a, that sounds like we had an employee at this one, at the taqueria that I worked at. And she worked the counter. And the boss said, if you work the counter, you're not allowed behind where the food is. If you want some food, ask the cooks. They'll give you the food. Well, she never listened to him. And one day she went back of the to get some food for herself, fell over and cut her forehead open. Forehead's bleeding profusely because it's a forehead. She's bleeding like a wrestler, basically. Yeah. And so she's bleeding and she's just like, oh, I cut my head. Like a trooper, though, but bleeding like a stuck pig. In walks her boyfriend, and he just flat out just passes out on the floor. Just drops face first onto the floor. At the second he saw the blood, he was just like, boom.
Yeah, a lot of people do that. My mom's like that. I grew up in the outdoors.
I've gotten too used to sight of blood.
Of course, I got used to my own blood. I was a pretty reckless kid.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I got used to, like, if you can stand your own blood, then you're going to be able to stand.
I mean, the third time I had stitches in my head, I was 6 years old. Maybe I just turned 7. And I was, like, standing behind some kid and he swung the golf club.
Jesus Christ, 6 years old and the third time you had stitches, you must have looked like a fucking human scarecrow.
Yeah, and you could tell my hair wasn't over my face. So I mean, let's start there with all the mental scars, Mr. DiMartino. But anyways.
Yeah. Anyway, memories. Memories of the summer.
Yeah.
Let's take this out. Let's get the hell out of here. The summer's over. Gone.
Luis, we're almost out of gas.
I've been, I've been whipping you guys up some AI songs, but it's all over with the AI songs. That I think we hit the peak last week with I don't know what we hit with 99 because I haven't made the AI for 99 yet, but whatever it is. Nothing's going to beat the old lady farting song. And so we'll go out for the summer with a nice little song off one of the albums I got today by the
Fred Lane wouldn't be so bad either. Maybe a twofer.
Yeah, maybe. Don't want to milk it out too much. We'll save some Fred Lane for next year. This is my first Fred Lane I've been able to play on vinyl. But anyway, we're out of here. Summer's over. Garage sale gloat's over. Time to sit through the winter until spring when we'll be back out gloating again. But until then, enjoy this little song about rock and roll.
Keep on gloating in the free world.
By the world famous Pale Face.
I bought my favorite record at the local record store. I would have bought a lot, but I didn't have a job. I took it home and I put it on the turntable. It made me want to kill everybody in the neighborhood. It made me want to burn and rob, burn and rob. Rock and roll made me want to burn and rob, burn and rob, burn and rob. Kill everybody and quit my stupid job. I went into my mom's room and I stole all of her jewelry. I put it in a paper bag and sold it on the street corner. Then I bought a lot of drugs and I got my sister drunk. Stole the family car and I stuffed her in a trunk. And I drove it off the edge of a cliff and stood there laughing. Burn and rob, burn and rob. Hideous crimes done with a cattle prod. I already had my dad's checkbook, so I ran off to the bank. Took out all the money and I loaded up on crank. Then I went across the country spreading fire and disease. Prayed to the devil down on my bloody knees. And I bought another record and committed suicide. Burn and rob, burn and rob. Yeah, it was rock and roll that drove me to the other side. Burn and rob, burn and rob. Rock and roll made me not believe in God. Burn and rob, burn and rob. Don't stop, rock and roll, kill a cop. Burn and rob. Street, punch out everyone you meet. Burn and rob, burn and rob, burn and rob. Join a lynch mob, burn and rob. Kill everybody that ever was alive.